on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome. You're in the clubhouse. It's Memorial Day weekend, May 26th, almost June. And starting off the show with the voice of golf and co-host of The Grill Room. He's on Sirius 208 and XM 93. His name is Bob Bupka. Welcome to the show, Bob. It's good to hear you.
Danielle, great to be with you. Happy Memorial Day weekend to all of your listeners. And a special thank you to you. I know your son actively involved in the military, and we appreciate everything that everybody has ever done to keep our life the way it is.
You know, I got to tell you, I had a late night last night, real late. I was up until 10:30, and my son's back from Afghanistan. He's in for 2 weeks of R&R, and we had a really good time. It's just wonderful seeing him. You know, we don't see him for 6 months, and he comes flying in. He looks so good. Get a big bear hug. It's great. By the way, somebody forgot to put in the request for a sunny weekend. We're going to have breezy. They say mostly sunny. I don't know. We're going to have isolated showers mornings and afternoons and evenings, and the winds are easterly 15 to 25, gusting to 40 at times. There's a high surf advisory up for the east-facing shores of Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, and Maui, and the wind advisory until 6 o'clock tonight for Haleakala, which, of course, is way up there, and you probably don't want to have one of those SUVs driving up Haleakala, or at least be very careful if you do. So we're going to take a tour of the tour with Bob Bupka, who's been covering golf since he was born, about 25 years ago. Came out of the hospital and straight onto the PGA Tour. Let's start off. Jason Duffner, is he something to watch or what? And Zach Johnson, they're both going to be playing as paired individuals. Jason Duffner, amazing. He could, he could actually do something really special. Ben Hogan, I think, did it last, right? He won the Byron Nelson and the Colonial in the same year. And here we've got Jason Duffner about to do it back-to-back if he holds through the weekend. Bob, are you still with me? I think we've lost Bob. Well, that's one of the things that we're hoping. Are you there, Bob? Okay, we're just having some technical difficulties. Bo Van Pelt, also working really hard to get to the top of the leaderboard. We've got Tommy Two Gloves Gainey, Tom Gillis, Ryan Palmer. I've been watching Ryan Palmer because he's doing some amazing stuff. He keeps creeping up to the top. Sometimes I'm convinced. I had Ryan on the show after he won here in Hawaii, and it's better if Danielle doesn't pay too much attention to people. Harris English, the rookie, he shot a 60, I think, to qualify for the Open, and here he is doing so well on the PGA Tour. Kelly Kraft, David Mathis, Jim Furyk moving up a leaderboard. Bob, are you with me?
I am, Daniel.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So Jason Duffner, he may set a history, make history this weekend.
Well, one other person won, the Byron Nelson and then won the Colonial in the same year, and that was back in 1946. When the first one was played, and I think you heard of this guy, Ben Hogan.
Him.
Is the guy that accomplished that, Jason Duffner, trying to get his name now alongside of Ben Hogan. There have been 15 guys that have won both events, but only one won them in the same year.
Okay. Jason's interesting to watch. I actually saw a picture of him smiling. Doesn't do a lot of that. Have you followed him on the course?
Yeah, smile's not part of his modus operandi, but, you know, what he's accomplishing on the golf course, merely incredible. Now, had he won the PGA Championship, like probably he should have, a series of fluke shots and fluke events led to the loss to Keegan Bradley, we would be ranting and raving about Jason Duffner now. But because of that, he's been behind the scenes just a little bit. Now, he won down in New Orleans. He got married, and then he won the Byron Nelson. He did that all within a span of 22 days, and now he's trying to win for the second week in a row. He's solid. He's got a nice pre-shot routine. He doesn't go overboard with it. Takes a few waggles. Matter of fact, it's kind of ironic because Ben Hogan used to make the waggle a part of his swing. And then he just has a consistent move through the hitting area, Danielle. And I don't care how you come at the ball. If you come at the ball the same time every time, then you can play this game. And right now, nobody's playing it any better than Jason Duffner.
Yeah, yeah, he's really something. It's great to see. He's just set up. You know, somebody said, what are you going to work on after the two rounds, these great two rounds of golf that he's had already? What are you going to work on? No, nothing. I'm going to rest. Why would he want to work on his game? He shot a 65 and a 64.
Well, he did have to work on something. He had to work on his fastball because he threw out the first pitch at a Texas Rangers game last night. So he accomplished that in fine style. He's really becoming a celebrity, but I've met his wife, Amber, a lovely person. I think those two are going to make a great team together. And I like Jason Duffner, and he's no fluke. He's been working hard for 3 or 4 years, and now his game is just manifesting itself at the highest level.
Harris English, didn't he shoot a 60 qualifying for the Open?
Yeah, I mean, he's mind-boggling. The fact that he qualified, he didn't play nearly as well in the second round. Shot a whopping 63. But he is going to be at Royal Lithium. And, hey, who knows? I mean, you know, he won on the Nationwide Tour last year. He also shot a 60 last year on the PGA Tour in Hartford, Connecticut. I mean, you can go on and on about Harris English. He's really something.
Yeah, Kelly Kraft is already finished with his third round. He shot a 64 today. For now, he's tied for ninth. Of course, we've got the leaders haven't really teed off yet, at least not from the leaderboard that I've got here in front of me. Kelly Kraft, can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, U.S. Amateur champion, that's all you have to know. He's trying to gain his card through sponsors' exemptions and not wanting to go to Q school, and he's playing very well. He's going to need, a solid round tomorrow to maybe get into the top 10, which would be extremely important because that'll give him another start on the PGA Tour, and he wouldn't be using up a sponsor's exemption. So there'll be a lot of heat on Kelly Kraft tomorrow, but I think he has the goods.
You know, what you just said is gain his card without having to go to Q school. Q school is going to go away pretty soon. Then you'll be able to gain your card if you get sponsor exemptions, if you get to play events, and if you earn X amount of dollars, if you're within the 124 players on the tour.
You're right about that, Danielle, although I'm very upset at the fact that Q school is going to go away. I think it's been a huge part of the game for quite a while, and it's not the new guys that are trying to come out there. Just think of this, Danielle. You take a guy that's maybe been on the tour 7 or 8 years, and he's having a real lousy year, and he just can't get it together. As the year starts to wind down, he now recognizes, wow, I'm not going to be able to play out here for a year. I'm going to have to play on the Nationwide Tour for a year and try and get my card back that way. Whereas currently, somebody that's having a bad year always had Q school in the back of their mind. If they went there, they played, a couple of good solid rounds, they get their card right back, and they're right back on the PGA Tour. So I'm not a fan of Q school being eliminated.
No, I'm not either. I think it makes for really good stories. But the question, what do you have to earn these days to keep your card, to be in that 124? What is it, $700,000 now?
Yeah, just about that. And then you take the $200,000-$400,000 they get on endorsements, and then they get to play in some pro-ams. If you're a successful PGA Tour player and you never won, you'll be taking home a little over $1 million a year.
Wow. Well, and now we've got Jim Furyk, Vijay Singh, Louis Oosthuizen. Who are you watching on this in this particular event, other than Jason Duffner?
Well, my eyes are on Jason Duffner. I'd love to see him come through. Zach Johnson, very tough. He won it, and 2010. He finished second last year. His game is ideally suited, and now he's for Colonial. It's a very flat golf course, small green. To be at the greens, you're going to have a very makeable birdie putt, and they built it flat mainly because of the heat. If this was a hilly golf course, it'd be extremely tough to play. You know, temperature today going to be around 90 degrees, and humidity's always high, so the fact that it's flat is pretty good. Ryan Palmer, you know, he certainly could get the job done. Local boy,
yeah,
nice guy, and,
isn't he?
A good game.
Yeah, truly. We're going to talk a little bit about the Champions Tour and the European Tour. Rory McIlroy's meltdown. Luke Donald coming on strong. But first, let's take care of the people who take care of us. Let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And on the Champions Tour, it is the 73rd Senior PGA Championship. This is a is this the major of the majors, Bob?
Well, it probably shares top billing with two other events. I would think the British Senior Open and the United States Senior Open are right up there with this PGA. But Roger Chapman currently tied for the lead with John Cook. John Cook's going to be awful tough to beat down the stretch. But the guy you got to keep an eye on, Danielle, Dale Irwin, 67 years old, looking to win this championship this weekend. And it's a perfect golf course for him. A Jack Nicklaus design where you have to be extremely accurate with your irons coming into the green, and over the years, nobody's been any better than Hale Irwin.
Yeah, we call him a local boy because he used to play out of Hawaii. You know, he had his home course was right over here, so Hale's our very own in Hawaii. Hale Irwin, 67, playing amazing golf. He said something that I thought was perfect. He said, the thing about getting older is you don't know what part of your body's going to hurt the next day. You know, it's kind of...
Yeah, the only thing you can hope for as you get older, it's your mind that goes bad first. That way you won't know if anything else is hurting.
All right. Okay. So, but he's in great shape. Now, Freddie Couples, I was watching him play. He did not have a good day. He did not. Whoa. It looked like he was hurting a bit. He didn't seem as loose as he usually does.
Well, good observation there. Danielle, his back is acting up a little bit, and, you know, that has been the plague of Fred Couples for such a long time. One can only wonder the things that he would have accomplished had he been blessed with a strong back, but he wasn't, and he just goes about his business, and he's not going to win, certainly this week, but, you know, I think when we catch Fred with a good back, he'll be in contention again. I'm going to give you a little tip-off,
okay.
And your listeners on your show will be the first to hear this. I'm predicting that on Tuesday, this coming week, at the Memorial Tournament, that the next President's Cup captains are going to be announced, and I'm speculating that it's going to be Fred Couples again, but not Greg Norman. And I think Nick Price is going to get the nod.
Oh, Nick Price. Oh, that'd be fabulous. I mean, I like Greg Norman, but it's always nice to see Nick Price do something. Great. I also like the fact that Bernard Langer is moving up the leaderboard, and I always keep my eye on Jadon Blake, too. Interesting fellow. He's doing much better on the Champions Tour now. What changed for him? What part of his game?
Well, you know, when players get to the Champions Tour, they realize that maybe you don't have to be as perfect. And this would work well for any of your listeners, Danielle. You don't have to hit every shot perfect in order to have a good round. You know, if the pin is located near the edge, just go for the middle of the green. And you know, just try and make it easier on yourself. And I think more and more players, after getting beat up on the PGA Tour, when they say they get to the Champions Tour, they say, well, I'm just going to relax a little bit. I'm going to have a little more fun. And as a direct parallel, they end up playing a lot better golf.
Interesting. Okay, I think with that thought, and you know, absolutely, the one thing I saw Morrison melt down on the European Tour. That was sad. It was horrible to watch. He, I think he had a snowman in eight, you know, and then he went to the next hole and the announcer was saying, well, you just have to put that in the past and know that, you know, don't try to make birdies to get back to the top of the leaderboard. You just want to get your game back, you know, and the poor guy goes way out of, into the, he's hanging over, what looks like a garbage pail. It's full of water. The announcer says, it looks like, gee, I thought he was going to get sick. And the, you know, because it made me feel ill watching him play like that. You really do need to realize that just because you had a bad moment, you know, but it's so hard to put that away. And I think Rory McIlroy was having a really bad moment when he was throwing his clubs about. Did you?
Yeah, it wasn't good to see. Rory's a little frustrated right now. This normally happens as the time starts to wind short. Before the defense of his U.S. Open title coming up in just a matter of weeks now at the Olympic Club in San Francisco. Rory's not happy with the way he's playing. And let me, you know, specify that. Rory's not happy with the way he's playing on the golf course. He's thrilled to death the way he's playing off the golf course with the number one tennis player in the world.
Okay, somebody said, is his love life affecting his game?
Why wouldn't it?
Is it?
You know, I mean, golf's a tough sport, and to be in love with somebody and play your best golf, not that easy. Although, all I have to say is Jason Duffner, I can guarantee you he's madly in love right now, and it's not affecting his golf game. But, of course, he's a little older. Jason Duffner, a good 13 years older than Rory McIlroy. So at 23, when you fall in love to the extent that he has, and unfortunately for him, they don't play tennis tournaments in the same place they're playing golf tournaments. So the whole globe has been exposed. He has to fly thousands and thousands of miles to see her. She has to do the same thing. It's starting to take its toll, but he'll get himself together. I look for a good defense. I don't know if he'll win at Olympic Club, Danielle, but I think he'll play very well.
Luke Donald is playing quite well in this BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, redone by Ernie Els. Ernie apparently got really, really salty, as we say here, very angry that they weren't keeping the greens watered. I think he used an expletive to say something to the effect of, I can't control the wind, and apparently I can't control the water on the greens, something, why aren't they watering the greens? He got very angry.
Well, because, you know, this is their flagship event. They won a stern test. They didn't water the greens down at the Players' Championship in Ponte Vedra. They're not going to water the greens out at Olympic Club. I mean, when you want to hold a great test of golf, you can't make it like throwing darts into the greens. Ernie Els, under a lot of pressure because he was hired to do the redesign while he's still a contemporary player. And you know, sometimes that doesn't work out as well as if you just bring in a course architect that doesn't have to compete alongside the guys. The one name that I'm really impressed with is Paul Laurie, and looks like he may have an excellent shot of getting on to the Ryder Cup in September. That should be very exciting. And Paul Laurie really lost his game after winning the Open Championship at Carnoustie, but then started playing with his two sons that were teenagers, and he said, holy mackerel, they're almost beating me. I got to get back to practicing and working hard, and he's been doing such. And right now, if the Ryder Cup selection process ended, Paul Laurie would be on the International Ryder Cup side.
Well, that's good. It's good. He's a great person, a wonderful person. And the fact that he went to play, you know, golf with his sons, it really puts you in a different mind frame. You could throw all of the stuff that's bothering you out the door, just kind of get into their mood. Children, young people, that they can change the way you're thinking and just make you feel better. Everything goes out the window, all the problems at work, anything that's distracting you, and you're right in the present. I think that's what children can do. They bring you right into the present, into the moment. Yeah, I bet he said I need to do something about my golf game.
Yeah, and you're so right, and what a perfect time to take that train of thought to what everybody's going through this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. We want to pay tribute to everybody that's ever served in our defense, and those currently serving and those that made the extreme sacrifice. I know you have a son that's involved, and you ought to be congratulated, and families of troops everywhere ought to be congratulated. And just remember, you know, a golf ball's a lot tamer than a hand grenade.
Yes. Yeah, don't take it too seriously. Thank you so much for being on the show, Bob. We'll talk real soon.
I look forward to it, Danielle.
Thank you. And we'll be back after this. We're going to talk with John Richardson. He wrote a book called Dream On, and then he did. And now his book of the same, that book, Dream On, well, they're making a movie, and it's going to start filming this summer. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker, when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay. Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
If you're looking to play a round of golf on Kauai at Poipu, there's a 9:30 and an 11:30 open. The Southside Men's Club and the Lynch family, they're going out to play together. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. And if you're looking for something for someone special, they've got 25% off rack in the pro shop. Okay, we're going to go to Ireland and talk with John Richardson. Back in, 2004, he decided to set himself a challenge to break par. That was the goal. Then he wrote a book because someone said, yeah, right, Dream On. It's just great to have you on the show. Welcome back again, John Richardson.
Hey, Danielle. Wonderful to talk to you again. It's been a little bit, quite a while, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been since you knew that the book had gone to movie script level, and there was talk about who was going to play you,
yeah.
And that hadn't been decided yet. Mm-hmm. That was the last time we spoke.
Yeah, that is, as I think you said in an email to me, that is the movie business. It is a bizarre, surreal, fascinating, and eternally frustrating business, I have to say. But still very exciting. Still very exciting indeed.
Okay, now, what is it? Nick Faldo wants to be in your movie?
Yeah, Nick Fowler wants to be in it now, so the script has been adjusted accordingly, and obviously that is more than a little bit exciting. So there's quite a crucial bit towards the end where Sir Nick Fowler, sorry, I need to really start getting the respect for him.
Yes.
is going to be commentating. I can't really give anything more away at the moment.
Because don't.
You know, such is the movie world, of course. The movie script is a reasonably large amount different from the book. All the highs have been exaggerated and the lows have been exaggerated too, but he's going to be in it.
But that's great. I mean, to know that Sir Nick Faldo wants to be in your movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, from what I understand, too, no one's, they haven't signed, you must be difficult to cast.
well, yeah, exactly, you'd wonder. I think this is where you start to understand the movie business and you realize the way that it works. And all of these pieces of a jigsaw have to come together. And to get the pieces of the jigsaw to come together, which is the finance and all of the key roles that are going to be passed on, I don't necessarily mean, you know, the roles of people who are going to play it. And where you might shoot it, and where the director might want it shot, and where, you know, and all of those, not necessarily arguments, but discussions that go on between all of those people, you're trying to pull it all together into a time then that you can have a specific actor who may be in it. For a movie like mine, and that's a great line to say, isn't it?
For
a movie like mine, where so much of it is based around one character, i.e. me, you need to make sure that you get all of those other pieces in jigsaw so you can definitely shoot in that certain date. Because if you've got a proper star there, you know, they're continually, you know, working to specific deadlines. And you know, unless it's a massive movie, you need to hit that date for them, or else then it has a direct knock-on for whatever they might be doing afterwards. So that has been one of the problems, about getting all of those other pieces of the jigsaw together. So that you can then have somebody who can commit to it.
Yeah, because they've got schedules, they've got commitments, and everybody's working years in advance.
That's
trying
right.
to figure it all out and put it all together. And
then you've got things like the distributors who may or may not want specific. You know, so you get a big distributor on board, you get people with lots of money coming on board, and then an initial choice may not necessarily fit in with what they wanted. So they're yes. And, you know, as in every single aspect of life, money talks. So you go where the money is, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Highly harsh reality, isn't it?
It is. It's true, though. But you have to, otherwise it won't be made. But
Exactly. Let's
go talk a bit about what it is the movie is about. And it's about that quest that you set yourself on, that year-long quest to break par. And then you created Break Par Golf, the Break Par Blueprint, which
That's
you
right.
can find online at breakparblueprint.com, how he accomplished this. But in the process of doing that, what you did, after a year, you met your challenge, you hurt yourself.
That's right, yeah.
Tell us about how that, warning, if you're going to go hit balls, be careful.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can look at it in a relatively flippant fashion, and I can look back on the whole year, you know, without perhaps looking at the pain, and I don't mean the physical pain in my arm, but there is no doubt that if you're going to try and maintain a family life and try and take 30-plus strokes off your average golf game in a year, you know, you're going to put a lot of impact on, you know, your friends, your family, your business partners. And also, you know, if you're going to hit 70,000 golf balls off a hard range mat, you're going to actually put a fair bit of damage into your body too. And coincidentally, my mum, the golf pro who helped me out during the year, she did a lot of wrist damage when she was on the tour. And she had warned me about it. And I just kept going and kept going and kept going. And I knew I was causing myself quite a lot of pain during the year by keeping going. But gradually then, over the last 2 or 3 years, it has got worse and worse and worse. And it's my right wrist particularly. So if you consider that action of coming down, particularly with an iron, which I did so much iron work, and I did so much six iron work in the early days to try and create this entirely new swing, which could, you know, hopefully help me to break par. And that is a lot of iron. It's a lot of a metal club hitting off a hard mat. And your wrist takes a huge amount of that. A huge amount of that damage, huge amount of that shock, sorry. that comes through the body. And the other thing that I worked on a lot was trying to recreate that sort of, basically that Tiger two-iron stinger shot. So I bought an old two-iron blade, an old Mizuno two-iron blade, and I did an awful lot of that. And that's a very aggressive, hitting hard down into the, you know, into the mat shot or into the ground. And that probably didn't help me either. There's no doubt about it.
So that initial pain, if for someone who may be feeling a little bit of pain,
yeah,
and wondering, what is that like? And where do you feel that?
Well, it's just right in the middle of the wrist, basically. Right at the very deep into it. And ultimately what happened was I ended up, the little bone spur grew out, and I did quite a lot of damage to a number of the ligaments that were in it. And I'd reached a stage about 4 or 5 months ago where I couldn't lift a kettle. I was like a little old lady.
Oh.
You know the way they struggle to lift kettles?
Yes.
So that was me at 45, which is nice. And, I couldn't take the jar, you know, the lid off a jar. Ooh. That was just, there was whatever was wrong in there. Those were the specific sort of things that I couldn't do. So I could, for example, lift up, you know, a heavy bag or something. That was no problem. But it was that sort of twisting action or anything that put anything, you know, that sort of a twisting motion on my arm. That's what caused the problem.
And
so,
then surgery was the only
surgery was the only route, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so far it has been successful. I spent about five or six weeks in the cast, two or three different types of casts. Seeing as it's such a lovely sunny day, I was forced out into the garden this afternoon to cut the grass and do some slightly boring things. So it's a little bit sore now. And normally I would try and just use that as an excuse not to have to do those kinds of things again, obviously.
Right.
But
right, of course.
But no, it's generally fine. It's generally fine now. So fingers crossed. I mean, I think the reality is it will never quite be the same. But obviously, I don't regret that for a second. You know, I mean, you know, we all, as we get older, you know, just have little bits and parts of us that don't continue to work so well. And I think you just have to accept that.
You
sometimes
just have to accept that. Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, what's gonna hurt tomorrow morning? Who knows?
Exactly.
John Richardson, breakparblueprint.com. You can find out all about how he accomplished breaking par. You don't want to follow the thing about hurting yourself. You want to be a little bit more careful, have some realistic goals. This is a book called Dream On. I highly recommend to read this book. John Richardson wrote Dream On, and he dreamed on, and then the book becomes a movie. You've probably learned an awful lot. Anybody watch Game of Thrones? If you watch Game of Thrones, you've seen John Richardson's daughter. She plays a princess in Game of Thrones. She is a Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not one of the evil Lannisters. No, she's
a good one.
She's a good Lannister, right? You must have learned an awful lot about this movie business with your daughter Amy being the Lannister princess.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about the power of HBO, which of course is Game of Thrones is an HBO production. That each episode of Game of Thrones, and this is episode, not series, each episode has a higher budget than my entire film. So it shows the huge, huge, vast organization and creative power and spread of that program. And they are, it's a stunning organization. And she has had the most incredible ride through the whole thing. She, I was joking with a friend earlier on. I'm delighted that actually you decided to talk about me, first of all, and not talk about her. because, you know, I'm starting increasingly at the age of, you know, 45 to have to play second fiddle to my 14-year-old daughter because of this. So, yeah, it's been incredible, Danielle. It's been absolutely amazing. You know, she spent 2 and a bit weeks in Croatia earlier on this year.
They film in Dubrovnik, right?
That's right, that's right.
Yes, it's a beautiful old town.
It's wonderful. And you know, Tyrion, who played, you know, her uncle, who won the Emmy this year, you know,
yes,
she's really, you know, when she did her first scene in Game of Thrones, she was in makeup with Sean Bean sitting beside her. You know, it has been this incredible roller coaster ride. And there are a number of kids in the series, and they're all lovely kids, and they get on very, very well. And you know, the actors, you know, Charles Dance, for goodness sake, plays her grandfather. You know, trust me, I didn't have opportunities like that when I was 14.
No,
he's got you know, she's having an amazing time, absolutely amazing time.
But the insight that you've gained, you must really understand the business. Initially, when you went from book to movie,
yeah,
it was very frustrating. And the time, it's difficult to understand why it's taking so long. But then when you watch something like an HBO series, and each episode, as it's put together, it's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. And it's also worth bearing in mind that, you know, the books from the first book that George R. R. Martin wrote, I think they were talking about turning it into sort of films or you know, TV stuff, you know, for 12 years, 14 years, something like that, you know. So these things take a long, long time. And actually me, you know, I've done 2 years of frustration waiting for this to come together. And that is, in movie land, that is nothing. I have a close friend that managed to get a film made a few years ago, and I spoke to him about when it was shooting out in this summer, and he said, that's amazing. He said, that is incredibly fast for the movie business. So you have to have a different perspective in terms of time. There's no doubt about it.
So, and that kind of goes back to your perspective on breaking par.
Yeah.
You decided to do it a year. Most people should probably give themselves a lifetime.
Well, yes, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, well, of course, you know, there are two perspectives on that, yes, to an extent. But, I mean, I think you've got to give yourself some period of time if you really, really want to do it. And I think, you know, I worked it out in what we do. I did quite a lot of corporate speaking off the back of this now, because there is no doubt that it transfers through to a corporate market, that concept of being able to make, you know, substantial transformative change within a year. And it took me about 1,000 hours of dedicated work to break par. And I think what, from my perspective, that's 1,000 hours of absolutely dedicated improvement. And that doesn't mean it didn't all get worse at various times, because it did. And it also doesn't mean I didn't go down a lot of dead ends and you know, alleyways that came to nowhere. But most golfers basically spend 1,000 hours. Actually, a lot of golfers might spend 500 hours every single year in and around and involved with golf. But most of the time, they're actually not doing anything to really properly improve. And they think they might be. They might be taking 2 or 3 lessons a year or something like that, but they're not accurately, brutally, honestly measuring their improvement. They're not saying, I'm here now, I take this amount of putts on average, you know, I get up and down this amount of times, I get this amount of green and regulations, and these are the things that I'm going to fix, and I'm going to do it by whatever period of time. Now, you know, it would be daft. I'm not in any way suggesting that what I did was necessarily a sensible thing to do, but I think there are a lot of golfers out there who basically just wish they could get better, and they don't actually manage to sit down and have a concrete plan based upon a brutally honest and accurate definition of where they are now, and then go to work rather than just going and having a lovely time with their friends. So, yeah, that's fine if that's all you want to do, but I'm really talking about those golfers who genuinely want to improve, you know?
And then you have to realize that you're going to have to put in the time.
For sure.
Yeah, you know? There you go. So to assess where you are now, make a plan to where you want to go next, and know that it's going to require dedication and hard work and sacrifice. Oh,
I mean, I think one of the very biggest lessons that I got was from a friend of mine who ultimately plays, I think he plays off plus one now. He has played as low as plus two, possibly plus three. Very, very good in as an amateur golfer. He has won all sorts of stuff. But he talked to me about whenever he was getting good, and he got very good in a short period of time too. And he talked to me about, he said, every single golfer basically on the planet, what they do after a round is they go and they have, you know, a drink or a couple of drinks or whatever in the bar, and then that's it. He said what he did was he would go in and he would have a lemonade for about 20 minutes and a pleasant chat, and he hit the range every single time. And it's just one of those little things that stuck with me in terms of the difference between somebody actually wanting to get properly good and a normal club social golfer, you know, and who just wants to enjoy all of the social side of it. Now, as I say, there's nothing wrong with that, but if you really want to get good, you have to sacrifice some of that. I have to sacrifice a lot of that.
There you go. John Richardson, always a pleasure to catch up with you. We need to do it. Well, we should know who's going to play you pretty soon, since...
We should, and the minute I know, you will be maybe not first on the list. I will tell my wife first, obviously. But you'll be very high up the list, trust me. I'll tell my mum, too, before you...
A wife, mum, and then Danielle, okay?
That sounds perfect.
John Richardson, breakparblueprint.com. Thanks for being on the show.
a pleasure, as ever, Danielle.
Okay, we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Oh, welcome back to the show, the clubhouse. Yes, you remember last weekend we were over at the Mid-Pacific Country Club for the Jenny Kay? Well, Ann Miller was on the show. She writes for the Advertiser.